The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Bill Flash, Cyrus Spain, Harry Lyles Jr., Israel Gutierrez.
South Carolina has captured its second national championship.
Dominated.
Legendary career
enormous.
Has come to a close.
I kind of like Embiid stumping for MVP votes, you
know,
don't you?
At this point, I feel like, you know, they hate me.
I mean, I like to look rich, honestly.
And that is how you sell a fix. Yes. We got a lot to talk about today. Let's go around the horn.
You go for an hour or?
Ari Chambers who asked Dawn Staley the question about that fit. I like to look rich. That is true. I'm going to give everybody points for that line. Here you go. Let's start the show with four. Right. It's blue. It's bloody. It's for the title. How Carolina carries over the emotion of Saturday night's win over Duke. That's one thing going into tonight. How Armando Bacot holds up tonight with that ankle, another thing. How it all matches up against Kansas, who's put together stretches of near-perfect basketball in huge moments this tournament. We're gonna get to that, but I will give you people the last word on Saturday night's magnificent, instant, and all-time classic. The game that closes out Mike Krzyzewski's career. Around the horn to Bill Plaschke on how you think Coach K will remember it. And the thing you'll remember most from UNC 81, Duke 77, the greatest win in the sport's greatest rivalry.
Yeah, it was an incredible game. It exceeded the hype. Yeah. Coach K is going to remember it, sadly, in despair. Crying players, Coach K alone out there on the handshake line. Only Wendell Moore Jr. was the only other players that had gone into the locker room.
What's that?
Mark Williams missing the two free throws. I think it really affected him. You could tell he was really hurting for his players. And that's sad for Coach K. But UNC, I'm going to remember it for UNC, the other side, their fearlessness. Unbelievable. Love hitting that three-pointer with 25 seconds left with the guy in his face after Williams missed those free throws. Carolina taking it to him. The teams led each other the same amount of time in the game, yet Carolina kept punching. Duke kept punching back. Carolina kept punching. And then again, the Tar Heels were fearless down the stretch. And Bacot playing with the bad ankle, coming off the bench. You know, being only after
so you're going to remember
plays.
This more,
it was
Bill,
an amazing
for North Carolina than Coach K. And
yes.
I'm not even going to make it a ruling on that. I'm going to ask Sarah Spain. Is that how you see it?
No, I mean, of course, Hubert Davis, UNC, like their run has been incredible. The back and forth, the lead changes. The fact that Duke, you know, did everything right. Now, a couple mistakes, a couple missed free throws, but they only had four turnovers. They outscored them on the bench. They outscored them in the paint. Like, they did a lot of things right. So it wasn't like anyone gave this game away. It just changed hands until time ran out, and UNC did enough to win. But I'm going to think Coach K. And to Plaschke's point, I think eventually he'll look back and be really proud of this very inexperienced team doing what they did and the hype of the way that it ended. I think it hurt in the moment. And after the game, when they asked him to talk about his career, I'm sure he would tell you it's because he didn't want to make it about him. He just had a year-long farewell tour. And when they ask him what it means for his career to end this way, and he says, I don't want to talk about it, I don't think that's about not making it about him. I think it was hurting too bad. Eventually, he'll look back and say, wow, what a good run to finish things off. But not right now.
Harry Lyles Jr.
Yeah, Tony, I don't think there's any way that Coach K could look at this and, you know, just view it as anything other than the worst possible way that his career could have ended. I know it's great that they made it that far, and I know that a lot of people were somehow rooting for this great storybook ending, right, because people love that. He had lost the last game at Cameron Indoor against their greatest rival, and they could have beat them in the Final Four and then won the national championship and then sent him off in the most glorious way possible. And instead, we got the better part, which is a petty sports rivalry. This is a moment, to me, that it's almost impossible to match, right? Unless Duke beats North Carolina in the national championship game next year, it does not get better than this. And it's not like North Carolina did this as a 1-2 or a 3 seed. They did this as an 8 seed. Like, a lot of people didn't even think that they were going to make the tournament at one point. And the fact that they just did this to Coach K and sent him out in this fashion, to me, is how I'm going to remember this as one of the, not just greatest college basketball moments of all time, but one of the greatest sports moments of all time.
Well, let me put you on the screws here. Is that the greatest stick-it-to-your-rival moment in sports history?
100% has to be.
Over maybe Red Sox, Yankees.
Red Sox, Yankees, for the title.
Okay, but this ends a career. I mean, this rivalry, in the history of the rivalry between Coach K and North Carolina, it's 50-50, right? And as this is the greatest rivalry in the sport, it really didn't exist before Coach K to the same degree, and this is the end of a career. Israel, you want to answer that question first?
Yeah, and if you're, so the original question being, what would I remember most? And it was that, it was the intensity of the moment, right? It's not like you had like jaw-dropping talent like Vince Carter or Zion Williamson out there saying, oh, I got to see that guy. It was just about Coach K, whether, you know, young players will, or veteran players will come up to the meet the moment. And you saw, you know, Williams with the missed free throws and Love with the huge shot slate. And then to Harry and Sarah's point, this could have ended any other way for Coach K, a first-round disappointing exit, a championship loss to some any other team other than North Carolina. And when you get the entire big picture of the season, what North Carolina did to him at the end, and Duke at the end, yes, I think it is the ultimate glove slap to your opponent, the bigger, the greatest, those two sort of finishes at the end of the season, I think, yeah, probably the best for
and
any
Plaschke,
best feeling
you
for
you alluded anyone. To not all the Duke players out there for handshakes, which was something we kind of saw in the last game as well. What was that about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a little bit of selfishness. I mean, if Coach K can do it, the players are despondent and they're terrible, and I understand they're upset, but they should have done it. It was a bad look. And it made, but it was a good look. It made it look like Coach K showed how much character he has, even in the end. I mean, he was out there looking for people to shake hands with. He was waiting by himself. Think about it. All this year had been about him. He was standing by himself, waiting to congratulate somebody from North Carolina on the game. I mean, that was incredible. Shame on his players for not being out there.
Harry, you said everybody was prepared for a storybook ending. Well, some were prepared for it. Coach K, I mean, because he's been so much attention focused on. People like to see Duke lose too. You have to admit that, but. Prepare for a storybook ending. Nike rolled out a campaign immediately after the game that said, you can't spell championship without K. Can you do that after a loss, Harry?
Apparently, yeah. You could spell a lot of things without K. I think they had, what, respect in there and honor as well. You could spell those without K.
I know, but specifically, they didn't win the championship.
It was good intention.
Sarah?
Maybe they were trying to make Coach K feel good, and they were like, hey, you're not the only one taking an L today. This campaign is, too.
All right. Well, we've been horned there. Let's talk tonight now. North Carolina riding that tidal wave of emotion. And Kansas, Agbaji, McCormack, Remy Martin. At times, they've all looked like world beaters during this month. How do you game plan for either? It's a huge storyline for Hubert Davis and Bill Self tonight. So around the horn, Israel Gutierrez, the number one thing that decides the national title game.
Wow, the number one thing, it's going to be shot making from the perimeter particularly. If you looked at the Duke-North Carolina game, it was very similar. I think North Carolina doubled up Duke in three-pointers 10-5. And this is just kind of where we are with the game in college basketball. If you have talent everywhere, yes, the differentiator is going to be on the perimeter. So if Love gets hot like he did in that second half, great, it might be North Carolina. If it's Agbaji or one of the wings from Kansas, then it's going to be Kansas because I think their bigs match up particularly well. So I've got to go with the shot makers from the
pool. Harry Lyles Jr., the one thing that decides tonight.
It's if North Carolina can stay on script. I think to Izzy's point, Kansas has the ability where they've got different guys that can beat you on different nights. With North Carolina, you need Armando Bacot to show up and you need Caleb Love to show up. And the one thing that Carolina can count on is those two guys, you know, Brady Manek and some of these other guys are a little bit hot and cold. But if Bacot's getting his rebounds, that's going to help, and you're going to need that against this Kansas team. And the one thing that had been impressive about this North Carolina team during the tournament is that when Caleb Love decides that he's going to take a game over, it does not matter what the opposition is doing. North Carolina won four games against top 25 opponents during the regular season, and they were all when Caleb Love scored 20 points or more. If he's able to do that tonight, then they've got a shot.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, the shooting's going to be huge, but to me it's just Bacot. Whether he's available and at what percentage of his skill. They're plus 300-something when he's out there and minus 80 when he's not on the court. He's got 30 double-doubles. If he can't, to Harry's point, even up well with the bigs on the other side and can't help with McCormack and can't keep things on the inside, then it makes it even easier to go the inside-out game and excel from both inside and around the perimeter. He is the key, and we don't know not only if he can be out there, because that's what Coach said. You know, he's going to be out there even if he just has to stand there. Well, if he just has to stand there, they're going to find out real early when they pound it into whoever he's guarding and find out whether he can move laterally and whether he's going to stand there. Or they could get him in foul trouble and take him off the court altogether.
And Bill Plaschke, the one thing that decides tonight.
North Carolina's toughness under pressure. North Carolina has played three incredible tough games. Kansas hasn't had 1 minute as tough as North Carolina's had it against Baylor and UCLA and Duke. And I was courtside against them, against UCLA. This is the coolest team I've seen. It sounds cliche. I know there's ice in their veins. They don't care. They're fearless. And I think they will carry that into tonight's game. They have been in the big moments. Kansas hadn't been in the big moment. They haven't been tested. They haven't been tugged at. This will all change tonight. This is also the icing on the cake for North Carolina. They've really already beaten their rival.
Well, I wonder about that, right? Does the emotion, does it carry over? Do you have to regroup after something like that, Plaschke? When you see a team, you know, slew the Hydra that's in front of them, that's their number one rival, and they come back and still have to play another game, is there fear that they can't
bounce back? I think there's less pressure on them. They'll play freer because they've already conquered their biggest.
You don't think Kansas has had to go through a gauntlet of their own? I mean,
they haven't.
They came out and they played a perfect second half against Miami. They came out and they played the perfect first half against Villanova. And, I mean, that game was a wrap 2 minutes in. I think you guys are underestimating Kansas here a little bit.
Wait, you guys, hold on. Plaschke's the only one saying that. Plaschke's
the only one saying that. Make your pick right now, Sarah Spain. Who you got? Good?
Kansas. More than four, by the
Gutierrez.
Way. Gutierrez. That sort of thing.
There we go.
Lyle.
Same. Kansas by double figures.
Carolina.
Plaschke.
North Carolina by three at the buzzer.
Tonight's result will not affect the bracket challenge. Kevin Blackstone has already won that. He's spending his winnings in an exotic locale known as Silver Spring, Maryland. Coming up, Aaliyah Boston, Destiny Henderson, and Dawn Staley's masterpiece, South Carolina's championship. It's Louis Vuitton plated.
$5,000 jacket.
And Harry Lyles Jr., you're getting a bonus now for winning the bracket challenge there. I thought you would be offered an exotic locale, like Buckhead. We'll be back.
Showed up to brag.
With the title, by yourself.
Buckhead is exotic. I like that.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
I've been thinking about this since last season because everyone had a picture of me crying at the end of the Final Four, and they played everywhere as if that was some type of... But today we're national champions, and I need tears, Holly. I need tears. So if you guys want to smile, here you go.
Our path was divinely ordered. And the order was for us to be national champions.
Woo! You want a storybook ending? There it is. Redemption and deliverance. Last night, never close. South Carolina's masterpiece. University's second national championship. Dawn Staley's second, of course. Aaliyah Boston and Destiny Henderson and Cook and Saxton and Beal's coronation. Sarah Spain on how you view South Carolina after pummeling UConn for the national title.
Yeah, this one was established early inside. 49-24 out-rebounding UConn. And Aaliyah Boston, excellent on both ends, but it wasn't all about her because when they tried to focus on shutting down Boston, Destiny Henderson came up huge. A career high offensively in points and then shutting down Paige Beckers on the defensive side. This took a whole team. I loved how at the end, Dawn Staley sat up there and said, there's also a lot of gals that didn't get in a lot of games, but they prepared us for every matchup, and she shouted them out by name as well. It was a real team effort. Also, the fifth straight national title won by a women's team led by a woman coach.
I saw that. I saw Muffet McGraw, one of those that posted it. Harry Lyles Jr., your takeaway on South Carolina's championship.
Yeah, Sarah, Dawn was also the first black coach to win multiple national titles. I thought that was awesome. It was honestly just a fun team, right? Best team all year with the best player. And, you know, honestly, a lot of credit to Destiny Henderson, not just for the career high in the national championship game, but for also her work on Paige Beckers defensively. You mentioned she held her to four, helped hold her to 14 points, and Beckers specifically when guarded by Henderson was 1-for-5 from the field. It was an incredible performance, and, you know, Dawn was serving looks with the Louis V varsity jacket as well. Like, it was just, you know, styling and everything else is awesome.
Real Gutierrez.
Gino Auriemma felt so defeated in that in-game interview. It was just like, man, South Carolina's just pounding away at them. And then they still had, UConn had like a 10-0 run in the third quarter, no shot. Like, and this was a dominant, not just from game from beginning to end, season from beginning to end. And, you know, I like to imagine Gino Auriemma before the game was whispering to Dawn Staley saying, if there's any program that's going to do what we did or what Tennessee did before us, it's going to be you guys in the future because South Carolina feels like that program and Dawn Staley just feels like that head coach.
And Bill Plaschke.
22-5 in second chance points. That's hustle. That's effort. That's Gino looking lost as soon as the game started, like he knew it was over with. And can I make the mention that in today's parity landscape of college women's college basketball, could South Carolina be one of the greatest teams ever? They were 14-0 against top 25 teams. They beat UConn twice. They lost two games by a total of 3 points, and they blew away UConn in the championship game. They blew away everybody in the tournament. The most dominant team, maybe ever. In college, women's college basketball.
We have seen teams run the table before, wire to wire, number one,
right,
and go undefeated. We've seen teams put together multiple undefeated seasons and have 100 game winning streaks. But you say this landscape is different. Okay, one of the greats. It was a storybook ending for South Carolina. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Joel Embiid's 44 point, 17 rebound, 5 block Sunday, which had him talking MVP afterwards, and whether people like him or not.
If he happens, great. If he doesn't, I don't know what I had to do at this point. You know, at this point, I feel like, you know, they hate me. The standard for, you know, guys in Philly or for me is different than the standard than everybody else.
Israel, buy or sell Joel Embiid there?
I'm going to sell his approach, but what he does need to do here basically is just campaign against advanced stats, because that's the thing that's separating perhaps Jokic from him here. And if this was like 20, 30 years ago, pretty sure Jokic would already have this in the bag. So that's what he needs to do. Not saying that those advanced stats are necessarily wrong, but they're not the end-all, be-all either. So that's what he would need to do in order to make that.
But people don't like me. What do I have to do? Bill Plaschke, how'd you hear that from Embiid?
I'm buying that he's stumping for the MVP, and I think he should be. I mean, at this point, everybody's sort of even, if you ask me. And in the last 5 games, he's gone at least 35-15. The only other 76er in history to do that in 5-game span was Wilt, of course. And he's doing this under huge pressure with his team fighting for a seed. That's an MVP.
Sarah Spain?
This isn't about whether he's liked. It's not about his location. This is about an extremely tough MVP year. If you average out all of the MVPs in NBA history, you get to a number of 43.8 when you combine points, assists, and rebounds. 6 players are doing that this year. It's tied for the most ever. So he can look around and say, what more do I have to do? Well, you got to do more than the next guy, which is Jokic, who's probably going to win it, and he deserves to.
And Harry Lyles Jr.
Does it matter, though?
Yeah, Tony, I'm buying that some campaigning is absolutely necessary because Nikola Jokic is the person that deserves it. It's almost like tennis, right, where anybody that's played with Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal the last couple decades, like, you know, you probably would have been the MVP in another year. It just so happens that this guy is doing that much more than everybody else. He's the first player in the last 50 years to be in the top 10 in points, rebounds, assists per game, and field goal percentage. It's just the wrong year for you.
Well, Embiid could find stats where he's the first in 50 years. And you know what? Giannis could find stats as well. Giannis did it in Embiid's face just last week. Israel, you said it doesn't matter, though. It doesn't really matter. What do you mean by that?
It shouldn't matter to the Sixers, right? If he's campaigning for this individual award, they probably should. Okay, well, I get the campaign, but it's about the team first. They're fighting for a one seed here. Let's not talk about MVP.
Okay. They are fighting for a better seed, although, I mean, in the standings, it's 48 wins for Philly, 47 for Denver. I don't think you can make the argument that Denver's had a terrible year. Spain passed by Plaschke there at the end, and Harry Lyles Jr., thanks for that bracket challenge Woo-hoo. Bonus. In Showdown next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here it is, actual footage of Tiger Woods today out on the course at Augusta. It's going to be a game-time decision, he says, to play the Masters. The anticipation is killing us. I hope it'll last. He looked like Tiger before the accident, Billy Horschel said, who was right there. Are you now thinking Tiger will play, and what do you think's factoring into the decision here? Bill Plaschke, around the horn to you.
I think it's still 50-50. As one who has walked the Augusta course many times, that's a very difficult walk. It's a lot of hills, go straight up and straight down. I think Tiger's waiting to see, frankly, if he can walk the course, and he can walk it 2 or 3 days. Then we'll see.
Harry Lyles?
Yeah, the walking was his big issue that he spoke on. I think that he is really going to try to do this, and I do think that he will do it because of the severity of his injuries. I think that he realizes that, you know, this isn't forever, and this is another opportunity that he has to do, and if he thinks that
Tiger,
he can, he will.
Who has always said it's all about winning and winning majors, would play here for the sake of playing, and I think that would be beautiful, honestly. Point to each. We'll move on. Keith Yandel's NHL record Ironman streak snapped by the Philadelphia Flyers. He was a healthy scratch Saturday night. Flyers called it an organizational decision made in the best interest of what's right for the team. They're going to play the young guys as the season plays out here. 13 games left, they're already eliminated from the playoffs. Did the Flyers make the right decision to bench Yandel or the wrong one, Harry Lyles?
I think they made the fair one. Based on the way that he was playing in November and December, they would have been right to scratch him then. And not only did they let him get the record in the streak, but they gave him 25 more games after that. I think it was fine.
Bill Plaschke.
Why don't they, the season's over with for them. They got nothing to play for. Let him play. Let him continue the record. Phil Kessel's only 21 games behind him in the Ironman streak. Let him do it. Let him set an example for the younger players about what it's like to play every day.
Doesn't have to play the entire game. You can put him in for a couple seconds or minutes. Bill Plaschke, 30 seconds. Okay.
They need to relegate the Oakland Athletics. They need to get them out of baseball.
Wow.
They're a shame. It's a shameful, shameful, shameful. They traded Sean Manet the other day. They now traded Chris Bassett, Matt Chapman, Matt Olson. They're trading the heart of their team because they can't afford them. Their payroll is $31 million. In 1991, the A's led the league in payroll, $31 million. It's the same as it was then. 11 players in baseball are making more than the Oakland Athletics' entire payroll. This is, again, just shameful. How come baseball didn't institute a floor in the salary during the written negotiations? I have no idea. But this is what makes the sport different. The Oakland A's come to your town. It's a guaranteed win. That's bad for the game.
Ooh.
Shame on you, Oakland. Shame
and
on
relegation,
you.
Which is one of my favorite ideas for all American sports. Relegation. That's Bill Plaschke.
Tell us more about how many times you've walked the Masters, though.